Today we're going to talk about the faithfulness of our God. He's faithful. And we've been in a series on the fruit of the Spirit, and faithfulness is today. Faithfulness is today. And in the mornings, I've been talking about the faithfulness, the fruit of that God is the one who actually has that characteristic. And then Jesus has come in the flesh and a direct reflection of God. So Jesus has the same characteristics. Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. If the Father is faithful, how many know Jesus is faithful? And the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never have to worry about Jesus going, you know, a little off or confused. How many know there's a bunch of idol worshipers today, pagans who worship idols, that they're not really sure. They kneel before the idol. They don't know if the idol or the spirit they're praying to is going to be faithful to them or not. But can I tell you, our God is faithful. You don't have to cut yourself. You don't have to dance. You don't have to scream. You don't have to yell because he's not deaf. You don't have to. God is faithful whether you're faithful back or not. But tonight, you come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about how we also have the fruit of faithfulness. But in the mornings, I want to deal with the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. And if you put your trust in him, how many know he's faithful whether you put your trust in him or not. But our God is faithful, right? So I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy, because we're going to talk about how faithful our God is. I don't even know if I'm going to keep you long, because the mind can only receive what the seat can endure. And some of you just, you know, you'll get that when you get home. But you only have an attention span of about 20 minutes, and I got to grab you and tell you what God wants to say. But I tell you, we want to come to the altar this morning, and we want to trust God. We want to trust God. We want to bring our burdens to the Lord. I remember the old song, I'm going to lay down my burden. Remember that? Down by the riverside. Well, today it won't be by the riverside. It'll be right here in these altars. I mean, it's the same purpose, same thing. I'm going to lay my burdens down. Not because I don't think he can, but how many believes he can? In fact, the Spirit of the Lord has already spoken to us. The Word of the Lord came. If you're new to Pentecost, we know the gifts of the Spirit are operation at Oak Grove. Aren't you glad about that? And the Holy Spirit already spoke, and he said, I've just got to tell you a couple of simple things. Number one, I am, and I can, and I will, right? So that means that we're only left with one response at the altar today. When you come in just a few minutes, we're going to trust the God who can. I've tried to meet a lot of needs to a lot of people. Melissa and I have been pastoring 35 years. We've been married 36 this month. Happy anniversary. On the 22nd, we'll be married 36 years. And the Lord has been faithful. So I want to share with you some scriptures, because I want, at the end, I want us to come back and trust the faithfulness of God. Last week we talked about how good he was, and this week we're going to talk about how faithful he is. So, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God. Could you just stop right there and say amen? He is God. Even at one point, Moses had Pharaoh saying that Moses is God, is God. Here's a pagan leader of Egypt who's worshiping all kinds of God, big 10 gods, all kinds of gods, a plethora of gods, and flies and frogs and you know, all kinds of worship the river and worship, they worship anything. How many know today a lot of people are worshiping anything and everything but God? But we need to get ourselves back to God. In America, it was in God we trust. I said we were built on the promises of God. Our nation was a God-fearing nation. But here lately, how many know they would like to worship anything and everything but God? It's a crazy world we live in, right? And not faithful to God. But God is still faithful. Can I ask you something before we go any further? Could I ask you, as Americans and Christians, to keep on believing God on behalf of America? Could you just do that? If you're patriotic at all, you ought to say, let's pray for our president. Let's pray for our country, because we're heading down a toboggan slide that is heading to not a good place. And we need to pray opposition on every end. If it's godly and good, they're calling it bad. And if it's good, you know, they're calling it bad. And if it's bad, they're calling it good. They're perverting God's ways and God's word. And it's just a lot of things going on. But you need to know that our God is God. He is the faithful God. I underlined it. If you don't get anything else, leave this service today declaring Oak Grove believes in a faithful God. Together we believe. Hopefully individually you believe. But I know there's a devil that would like to tell you that God's not going to come through for you. But I'm here to preach it. I feel it in my spirit. Somebody's going to get the victory today. Because our God is going to be faithful to you. He's going to be faithful to you. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you can't talk about faithfulness until you talk about faith. There's very close resemblance in the definition of the word faithfulness to the word faith. In fact, you can't have faithfulness without faith. And without faith, you cannot be faithful. Is everybody with me so far? Faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. And it comes from our God. He is the vine. We are the branches. If He is faithful and good, it comes to us and we in turn are like Him. You're never going to be more like God as when you are faithful. Faithful. Somebody just shout faithful. He's faithful, God. He's faithful to who, Pastor Ron? Well, whoever keeps His covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God. He's serious about His relationships. He will bless those who He will bless. He'll have mercy on those He'll have mercy. He has the prerogative to do whatever He wants. But if He loves you, He in turn expects you to love Him back. Now, whether you do or not, He's not going to change His love for you. Can I tell you, that's good news for some of you. I said, listen to me. If you're away from God this morning, God's facial expression doesn't change when you choose to be unfaithful to Him. He's still going to be faithful to you. He's still going to love you. He's still going to be good to you. How many found that to be true? Has anybody served the Lord and walked away from the Lord because you got confused and came back and found Him to be open-armed? In fact, I was just thinking during worship, Miss Chrissy, I was thinking during worship that if we begin to even think about leaving God, becoming unfaithful to our God, because His name is Jealous. Our God is a jealous God. His middle name is Jealous. I said, He's God, Jealous God. That's His name, Yahweh, Jealous Yahweh. Call Him whatever you need to call Him, but how many know He's faithful? He's faithful to you, and He expects us to be faithful to Him. But if you have a hint of going away from God, I'm certain the Holy Ghost and Jesus and God the Father are always going to be saying, no, no, no. How many parents, when you see your children taking a wrong turn, say, no, 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 no? Or your grandchildren taking a turn that's not probably a good decision. You would say, no, 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 I need some Tylenol. Y'all giving me a headache. Now, God doesn't get headaches because God doesn't neither slumber nor sleep. Neither does He fret or worry. God does not get upset or anxious. How many know God's just God? And He's God all the time. You're not going to upset Him. You're not going to change Him. You're not going to hurt Him. Now, you could grieve Him. You could grieve Him because He wants all people. 2 Peter 3 actually, says God is not willing that any should perish, but what? All come to repentance and to come to eternal life, right? So it does grieve God, but He doesn't change His facial expressions. And so His covenant is good for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let's stay right there for a second because it's just so Romans 8 says all things work together for the good. For who? To those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. This is a parallel, it's a parallel passage here in the New Testament, Romans 8, what this is in the Old Testament. So God's going to be faithful, but is anybody here feel indebted to the awesome grace of Almighty God? I mean, if God's been that good to you, and it's all about relationships. So since He's so faithful to me, I want to be faithful to Him. Since He loves me so much, I want to love Him. If He's been so good to me, I want to be good to Him. Are you getting this? It's all about relationship. It's not about what I can get from God. He's not Santa Claus, right? He's not some person that's trying to, you know, meet every need we have. He has a plan and a purpose for our life. He wants us to grow up. He wants to be our God and our provision and our protector, our provider. He's our husband, so to speak. I know it's hard for men to understand that in the context of spirituality, but we are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Is anybody here part of the church of the living God? You are the bride of Christ, right? And he takes good care of his bride, Ephesians 5, right? Said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. I've been faithful to my wife for 36 years, and she has been faithful to me. In a world that we live in, that's worth having a Holy Ghost revival over. I saw in the Hallmark, I'm going to get a card for her. I was looking through Hallmark. And let me tell you about the level of commitment these days. Hey, one Hallmark card. You know, Hallmark? Anybody go to Hallmark? Anybody watch Hallmark movies? God help all of you. I just can't handle it. It's too much emotion. But I read a card that showed me about the faithfulness of our world today. It said, I am committed and faithful to you for today. I don't know about the future. Now, how many know that's a pretty sad card? That's a sad card. Like, you know, I got you today, honey, but I don't know about tomorrow. How many know God's not going to do that to you and me? How many believe God's been faithful to you and me? Before we were ever born, God was faithful to us. He's a faithful God. It's important that you get that. I want to read a lot of scripture. 1 Thessalonians, Melissa and I got this verse when we first got called into the ministry. Chapter 5, verse 24. Look at this. Especially if you have a call on your life for ministry or something to serve the Lord in some capacity. Look at this. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. It blew my mind because I was just 20 years old, brand new married, 25 we were in the ministry, 24, 25, and I didn't feel prepared. I didn't feel adequate. I didn't feel worthy to be called. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? There's this overwhelming humility that says, dear Lord, could you find anybody else? Is heaven that bankrupt that you choose to use me? But how many know he loves you and he calls you and he chose you? Chose you. Because he loves you. He values you. And whom he called, it flips me out because it said, he calls you and he's faithful. Who also is going to do it? It doesn't mean I don't have responsibilities. It just means when I fumble and falter and don't get it always right, how many know the Lord's going to have my back? That's what it means. You know, God hasn't called you to perfection. He's going to perfect you one of these days. How many know he's going to help you to make it all the way to the end through the power of the Holy Spirit? Any spirit-filled believers in the house this morning? If you have the power of God living in you, how many know you have a sustainability factor that's going to help you make it to the end? The one who endures to the end. Melissa's favorite scripture is Revelation 2:10. He that is faithful unto death shall receive the crown of life. You know, it's not always just how you start. It's how you finish. You know, I mean, 35 years of ministry. I can't wait to get where Brother Hacker is. Man, how many years? 60 years? Didn't y'all receive a 60 years? Would you give God praise for 60 years of ministry? 50 or 60, I don't know, something like that. Brother Harry Cole, how many 60 years of ministry? 50 years, 60 years? 60. Would you give God praise? 60 years? I'm only halfway there. I said, I'm only halfway there. My knees are bleeding and I lost my hair. It's not easy. If somebody told you it was easy, they lied to you. But we're selling the church a cheap gospel, an easy gospel. You just give your heart to Jesus, everything will be fine. How many know that is a lie? Don't believe that lie. Everything might not go your way, but how many know everything will go his way? And he will see to it by the power of the Spirit that's in you. I said, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He's faithful to finish what he started in you. And he's finished. He's going to finish what he started in me. And I want to be, I just want to go along. I can't help him out, but I just don't want to refuse or restrict or rebel against God's goodness. Some of us here today have taken advantage of the faithfulness of God. And these doctrines of devils that tell you that once you're saved, you're always saved. How many know that'll set you up for a ridiculous fall? Hey, as long as you stay in Him. I said, you who stay in Him will endure to the end. How ridiculous to think that you can give up and go carouse and live a life of a debauchery, and I try to stay on the straight and narrow and walk in the will of God, and you end up in the same place I end up. Don't deceive yourself, my friend. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that's what the man's going to reap. It's real. You can't just have a cheap grace. And there's a lot of people selling this lie that you just, go to church. I mean, going to church, it's not going to mean you go to heaven. Now, we're glad to have you, but churches this morning are filled with a lot of sinners. We welcome all of them. I don't care if you're this gender, that gender, transgender, up gender, down gender, any gender. I don't care who you are. The problem is you don't know who you are, but I mean, He knows who you are. Just because you're confused doesn't mean God's confused. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And it doesn't matter about your theology and your doctrine. It could be all confused right now. You could be thinking this. You could be thinking that. It doesn't matter. You know, I oftentimes talk to God and I say, Lord, Mother Teresa has got to be in heaven. How many would agree? I don't want you to agree or disagree because you don't want to make Mother Teresa mad. Don't fool Mother Teresa. But I mean, she gave her whole life on the streets of Calcutta. Is she going to be there? Here's what I understand about the grace of God. You may not get it all right theologically, but if you get your heart right in line with God, how many know He'll help you with the problems? He'll help you sort out your confusions. You know, I'm not one that says everything I know about the Bible is right and true and perfect, but I know the one who wrote the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and He came to lead me and guide me into all truth. When I walk away from the will of God is when I quit believing the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. I said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So Satan tries to take God's word and truth, and especially about God's faithfulness, and twist it. He's faithful. He's not only going to be faithful to you, He's going to help you. He's going to do it. And then Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, without wavering. You see, so now you're starting to add a little few conditions here. Now, you know, conditions, because we don't believe in unconditional eternal security. Like, you don't have to, you know, just receive Jesus and live like the devil and you go to heaven. That's a lie. Are you hearing me? Now, I know you got good friends and family that believe that, but I got to tell you this. I've got good family and friends that believe a lot worse, if there can be worse. But I'm still praying for my family. And how many know God's still faithful? I've led a lot of people who are confused into the truth. And let me tell you how I did it. It wasn't by beating them over the head, telling them they're dumb. It wasn't by telling them, kicking them and saying, you're so dumb, you don't know theology. It's by saying, hey, tell me why you believe why you believe. The average person on the pew doesn't know why they believe what they believe. I mean, we got to get back in the book and start studying the Bible and getting back to the Bible way of Christianity, not the American way of Christianity. Because America thinks Christianity is if you have a big crowd, you're successful. And if you have a small crowd, you're not doing that very much for God. But William Carey took the gospel to India. And after 7 years of working and plowing and sowing seed as a missionary, he had one convert. But how many know when he gets to heaven, he's going to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithful. So listen to me. You get the same reward for sowing the seed as you do for reaping the harvest. The key today is faithfulness. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Man, people are changing quickly. Our world changes so fast. You buy a car, it's outdated. You drive off the lot, you lost $10,000. You put 2 miles on it, and you already lost. How many know it depreciates fast? Changes. Man, I got the backup thing, and then before I can get the backup thing, they came up with the beep, beep backup thing, and then I wanted the backup beep, beep thing, but I couldn't trade in the car to get the beep, beep thing because I just got the brand new car. How many know the world's changing too fast? Man, I used to buy a car. Everybody had the same car. There was no backup thing. There were no beep, beeps. There was bump, bumps, and I feel like, you know, I don't even, you know, this, no wonder the world doesn't feel like they need God. They're in this box. You know, they're not going to get in a wreck because, wah, wah, you know, they're protected by all of these technology. How many know technology will fail you? Your computer will crash. It will have a blackout blank just like mine did. I was just looking at my computer. I'm thinking it's 5 years old. It takes me till noon to get it to turn on and come up. I'm thinking, I'm busy. I need this thing to work. And I have somewhat become conditioned to have it right now. And if I don't have Wi-Fi, the world will come to an end. And if my TV's not working this morning, don't worry about it. I'm going to preach anyway. I remember the day when I preached without a TV. I didn't have a TV here or there or anywhere. In fact, TVs were of the devil. Remember that day? Boy, have we come a long way. We used to call it the devil vision. Not the television, the devil vision. Have one of those in your house, God forbid. We've come a long way. So technical stuff, your phone, I just give my phone to Chrissy, say, baby, make it happen. Make it happen. I'm not texting anybody. Text and drive. I can't even walk in text. I'm like, people in the hospital, they're going, oh, excuse me. Hey, won't you lift your head and look where you're going? There's a wall right there. But I got to text Johnny. Johnny. Can you think Johnny could wait for 2 minutes? So our world has conditioned us to be dependent upon all kinds of things. To be faithful, we need everything. But how many know this morning, somewhere in the jungles of the Amazon, somebody's being faithful to God, and they don't even have electricity. Hey, I'm talking about getting down to the bottom, getting rid of all the devices and the things that are sucking the life out of you and the time out of you. Say, Pastor, you're against social media? No, I love it. I'm glad we're using it. I'm glad the whole happy staff. It doesn't make me happy, but it makes them happy. I'm glad. God can use it. And Justin's not here, otherwise he'd throw something at me because he thinks media is it. God bless Justin. But hold fast without wavering, for he who promised, would you say it? So if he promised it, he's going to bring it to pass. You getting that? Whether my computer comes up or even if I wake up. Somebody was telling me about a teacher or something. Caleb, I think, was telling me about one of the teachers passed away. It was very sad at his work. But Bear was talking to me. He said, Pastor, they woke up dead? I said, no, Bear, they didn't wake up dead. I mean, no, you wake up dead. That's a big problem. They didn't wake up. That was the problem. If tomorrow morning you don't wake up, how many know he's still faithful? If tomorrow morning you lose, see, here's the problem in America. I'm just talking to you from my heart on faithfulness. The problem in America is we focus so much on what we lose that we never remember what we have left. You remember the story of Naomi? She left Bethlehem, the house of bread, and went to Moab, the place of dry desert. And her husband, Ahimelech, something like that, one of those Lechs, She went with her husband to Moab for some reason. Anyway, they got to Moab, and Naomi lost her son. One son died, and then her husband died first, and then one son, then two sons. She lost a husband and two sons in a matter of a short time. And she had two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth had two daughter-in-laws. Orpah said, I'm not going back to Bethlehem. How many know it's a good day when you decide to go back to Bethlehem? It's a good day when you come to your mind and think, hey, I've had a lot of losses. I think I'm going to go to the house of bread, to the house of where I can get something from God. I had God over there. Over here, I don't have anything. I lost everything. So she heads back. Naomi says, Naomi says to Ruth, hey, you can go with your Orpah. You don't need to go with me. I've been treated bitterly by the Lord. And with a sad countenance, she tells Ruth to stay. And Ruth says, how many know there's faithful people in this world? I said, how many know there's still some covenant-keeping people in this world? And Ruth says, hey, lady, I know you're going through a rough time. And I don't really even have a God over here in Moab. The gods that I have served and my fathers have served have left us empty. How many know the world has nothing to give us? There's no hope from the world. You're not going to get anything. The world will not be faithful to you. If somebody's flirting with you and trying to appease you and try to pull you away from God, how many know they're not going to be faithful to you? Sir, if you are flirting with somebody else and you're married, I wanted to tell you that somebody else is not going to be faithful to you because they wasn't faithful to the other person. We need to wise up and understand faithful people are God's people. Faithfulness comes from the Lord. Without the Lord, there's no hope. Say, Pastor, there's some good people without the Lord. Well, there are some good people, but they probably had some good morals. Probably came from some good dirt. Are you hearing me? Probably somewhere in their history they had God. They wouldn't have turned out. But there are some people who just have tried to make it without God, and it is hopeless. Because only God is faithful. The world will sell you out. And anyway, Naomi said, okay. So they head to Bethlehem. And when she got there, she was downcast and very sad. And her friends that saw her and her relatives that saw her in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, they said, Naomi, what happened? Naomi, what happened? What are you so sad about? And she said, don't call me Naomi. Because Naomi, her original name meant sweet, loving, happy. Happy. She said, call me Mara, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. I want you to understand why people walk away from the will of God. They walk away from the will of God because they don't believe that God loves them. Because of the outward circumstance or some situation happened in their life early on, late in life, middle of life, losses of some sort. What happened to Naomi was all she could concentrate is everything she lost. And she forgot what she had left. And so the people in Bethlehem looked at Naomi and they said, Naomi, who is that little girl you got with you? Oh, she was so blind. To the things that she was so consumed by the things she lost that she could not see what she had left. And you know who Ruth was, right? Her and Ruth went in the field of Boaz. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, he's a type of Christ. How many know we have a Jesus who is with us? When you lose everything, how many know if you still have him, you will make it? Jesus plus nothing is everything. Impossibilities are gone. If you have Jesus, how many know there's hope for you? He will be faithful to you. He will see you through. And Boaz marries Ruth, and they have Obed, and Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David, and David had Jesus. So I don't know what you feel like you lost, but how many know what you got left is all you need. So all you need is Jesus. We used to sing that song, right? All you need is Jesus. Remember that? Maybe you don't. That was back in the early 80s. Farrell and Farrell. You don't even know that name. That's okay. It's okay. I go way back. All you need is Jesus. Look at this right here with me. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. So those two words I really want to walk with you a little bit, just a little bit longer. Faithless, faithful. Here, he tells Timothy, you know, he says to Timothy this. He said, hey, God has not given you a spirit of timidity or fear. God didn't give you that. That's the opposite of faith. But of power and love and a sound, disciplined mind. A mind of the Spirit that will keep you in the will of God. So he said, hey, if your faith is less, that means you're losing faith. Your faith tank is empty. If you're faithful, means your faith tank is full. Let's do it with the word hope. If you're finding yourself hopeless, that means you're losing hope. And do you know what you lose before you lose your faith? You lose your hope. Satan wants to render your situation hopeless. That's his trick, my friend. He does that to everybody. You will never get a healing. You will never get you will never get a job. You will never get a ministry. You will never get a spouse. You will never get children. You will never, 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 never. How many know the devil is a liar? You will have whatever God wants you to have, and whatever God doesn't want you to have, he will keep it from you. Somebody's ordering your steps. It's got to be you, or it's got to be God. I said, how many know the Lord's ordering your steps? Things he kept from you? Listen to me. God felt it better for you not to have them than for you to have them. If God felt it was good for you to have them, he'd let you have them. The will of the Lord be done. Somebody help me here. The Lord's faithful. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to get it. I don't have to figure it out. I said, listen, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him and what? He will direct your path. He's going to be faithful to you. Does anybody here believe that? I wonder if you believe that. If anybody here believes that, I want you to raise your hand, both your hands. And just give him a praise. Come on, right now. Father, we believe what we're saying is true. We were faithless, can still depend upon the one who is faithful. And he cannot deny himself. Look at Numbers. I love Joshua. You know, we give Joshua a lot of credit. Moses dies. Joshua takes command. Moses takes him through the wilderness. Joshua takes him to the promised land. All the devils are not yet fought. I mean, no, there are still devils to fight. I said, this is a good fight of faith. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fleeing. It's a fight of faithfulness. If you're going to make it, it's going to cost you some blood, sweat, and tears. It's not cheap. I mean, no, Jesus paid much too high a price for all of us. Our life is not even our own, so let's find out what he wants to do with it. Look at this. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? I mean, those are questions that we need to look at. Look at this. Three aspects of his faithfulness. Every word he says is true. There's nothing he says that is not true. So we got to deal with truth. You have to really embrace truth. So, Pastor, what is truth? Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Jesus said, I am truth. So if you embrace Jesus, how many know you got all the truth you need? So why is it so hard then to be faithful? Because many people today, Romans 1, are exchanging the truth of God, the word of God, for a lie and worshiping the creature instead of the creator. Worshiping the creature, humanity, or anything made on this planet, the earthly, instead of the heavenly. There's only one Jesus. How many know there's only one Jesus? There's only one Jesus. So I don't know how confused you are or why you're confused or what happened if you ate too many persimmons as a baby. And I don't know what your problem was. Sourness got in your spirit. But as long as there's breath left in you, how many know God can change your spirit? He can change your mind. Look at this. Every word he says is true. Revelation chapter 3, he is the true and faithful witness. By witness of three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They were there in the beginning. How many know he was faithful then? I said, he knew your destiny and where you would be today before you were ever born. Does anybody believe that? He knew you from your mother's womb. He knew you before. He knew you before he ever created you. He knew you. The pre-existent love of God. He didn't start loving you when you came out and they slapped you and you started crying. He was loving you long before you ever even were thought of in your parents' mind. You have a God who loves you. Right? You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, let's see. Did he demonstrate it? Oh, let's go to the cross where God demonstrated his love for you, that while you were yet away from God, sinner, he died for you. Hey, how many people? Stand in line. Count them. How many people ever died for you? Took the beating he took for you. Went to trial for you. Plucked his beard for you. Was kicked and stabbed and wounded for your transgressions. Right? Put the crown of thorns on his head. He loved you emotionally, mentally, spirit inside. He loved you in your body. He loves you in your mind. He loves you in your emotions. He loves you every step you take. Hey, listen to me. While you were sleeping, God was waiting for you to wake up. Does anybody here believe God loves you? And if he loves you, he's going to be faithful to you. I've been faithful to my wife. We say it all the time. We were 20 when we got married. And we stood at the altar in Assembly God Church. Just got saved a year earlier. And it's a Christian wedding. I'll tell you what, I can't even imagine what it would have been, what kind of wedding it would have been if we weren't saved. But it's a Christian wedding. God changed our life. And therefore, it changed everything. And we said, I do. We said, I will. Does anybody know what a commitment means? This actually wasn't even a commitment. A commitment is kind of like a business agreement, a contract. This was a covenant. Melissa was saying, hey, Ron, whether you stay committed to me, I'm going to be committed to you. Covenant to you for life. And I was saying to her, hey, whether everything works out the way we always worked out, if we have money or don't have money, you remember how they said it in the ceremony, something like it, sickness and in health, right? For richer. Did I misquote that? Until I can find somebody better. And how many know America's throwing that out the window? In fact, now the regular covenant marriage, you can marry your dog, you can marry your cat, you can marry. It's just really sick and perverted. It's sick and perverted. What are they doing? Pastor Ron, what are they doing? They're worshiping the creature and not the creator. They missed it. It's idolatry, right? It's real American Idol. He is faithful. Every promise will be kept because he is faithful. Every promise will be kept. Wow. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. He is the faithful God. He is the Lord who is faithful. He is the one who calls you, who is faithful. He's promised to be faithful. He's the ever faithful God. God is speaking to my heart about his faithfulness. And I wanted to give you a lot of scripture this morning because I want to challenge you. I just really want to challenge you. There's a lot of confusion in our world, new revelations of chaos and moral confusion. We need to ask ourselves if we really trust God. It's one thing to say it when the sun is shining. One thing to say, I trust God when the sun is shining. But when it gets dark in America and they come to take away your stuff that you worked hard for, come away, take the tax, make the church pay taxes. In fact, maybe even more worse than that, take away the church. Or take away your Bible. Or take away any property that you might possess. How many know the government don't know what else to do? And the reason they're making such foolish decisions is because they're not turning to God. How many know if they turned to God, God would fix it all? And just hang in there. The reason I asked you in the beginning of this sermon to pray for America and don't give up on America. How many know when it gets really bleak, I said it's always darkest just before dawn. I said it really gets ugly just before it gets good. I said at the corner of Wits End is Victory Lane. That's what's happening. He's the only true God. John 17:3. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful. He would never give you more than you can handle. He's faithful to give you a way of escape. If you're dealing with temptation today, how many know you can call on the name of the Lord and He'll save you? Does anybody believe in the protecting power of God? Anybody believe He can hold back the enemy? Does anybody believe when the weapon, listen, when the enemy comes in like a flood, does anybody believe the Lord can raise up a standard against it? He's our protector. He's our shepherd. He's our savior. He's our strong tower. He's our prince. He's our king. He's our ruler. He's our Lord. What is it that man can do to you? If God is for you, help me out here. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin. See, here's what happens when we sin. When we sin, Satan takes advantage of you and tells you you're not worthy. Now, you're not worthy to go to church. You don't go to that church, you sinner. Listen, there's a difference between a sinner constantly, willfully walking in sin and one who just sins. How many know all have sinned and become short of the glory of God? Nobody's perfect here. How many know we need an advocate with the Father? We need a defense attorney. We need somebody to come and help us. And if we, listen, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just. You see, what happens in the world is they just take one characteristic of God and they don't take all the characteristics of God. So they say, God is love. God is love, so we should love everybody, embrace everybody. Everybody's going to heaven. Listen, He's not only love, He's also just and faithful. He will rescue those who need to be rescued, and He will... Oh, I feel like I can't preach heaven without preaching hell. I'm sorry, folks. If He's faithful enough to help you get there, how many know He's faithful enough to make sure they don't? Otherwise, this thing is a big joke. If everybody's going to heaven, what in the world am I doing? If the Islamic guy who's calling on some Islamic God, if the Buddhist guy who's, are y'all hearing me? If the guy's calling on Hare Krishna and the one is calling on this one and that one and everyone, I worship the piano, I worship this, I worship this. If all those guys are gone, then what are we doing in here? The truth is, Paul put it the best way. Only those who believe in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ are going to be raised with Him. Hey, hey, if you call on the Lord, He'll save you. Say, Pastor, do you have no compassion on the lost? Oh, no. I have more compassion on the lost. I have urgency to make sure this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. How many know it's good news? You say, well, it's not good news to them. Well, that's the truth. That's the truth. Good news is only good news to those who embrace the good news. If you don't believe it, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord's going to cook your goose. Is that fair? I don't think y'all are helping me. This is serious. I know we live in a tolerant culture, but this is not that. But Pastor, you must be a bigot. You must not want people to be saved. I want people to be saved more than I want my next breath. In fact, if the only reason it's my will is because it's His will. The only reason I want to be good to the lost is because He's good to the lost. It's the only reason I want to be faithful to stay preaching the gospel and telling the truth is because He's faithful to tell me the truth. How many are thankful for the Holy Ghost conviction? Anybody here? Is anybody here really thankful for the conviction power of the Holy Ghost? That when you go off thinking this and doing that, that He says to you, hey, that's not right. That's not right. You better get your head on, brother or sister. Get them out of the clouds or get them out of the sand. There are voices coming from everywhere, my friends, and I got to close. There's two different directions that voices are coming from. The ones that speak the loudest seemingly are coming from the basement, the voices of hell, the lies, perverse, unstable, ungodly, and confusing. How many know that God is not the author of confusion? Hey, if it's confusion, it's not God. If it's conviction, it's a good chance that it is God. You got to learn the difference between the voice of Satan and the voice of God. The voice of God comes from the balcony. The voice of Satan comes from the basement. And God's people need to wise up and see, who are you listening to? Who are you hanging around with? What are you doing? I remember when God found Elijah in the cave. He was depressed. Oh, God, I want to kill myself because I'm the only one left. There's nobody left. I'm the only prophet of God. I'm the only one doing anything right. Everybody else is going to hell in a handbasket, God. And the Holy Spirit said to him, hey, Elijah, get up off of there, boy, and eat some cake. You need some cake. I mean, no sweetness. Isn't God good? He knows, hey, ladies, he'll give you chocolate when you need chocolate. Some of you could use a dose right now. Forget praying in the altar. Just give me a little piece of chocolate. Here's some cake. Here's some water. You need some rest. Elijah, you've got stinking thinking. That's not from me, boy. What do you mean you're the only one? 7,000 have not bowed their knee to Baal. I wish somebody helped me praise God. There's a whole lot of people still being faithful to God. Everybody's not denying God. Everybody's not bowing to idols. I know there's still some Pentecostal people that believe in the Word of God and praying in the Spirit and worshiping and reading the Word. There's still some people that will believe in God who will be faithful to us until the end. Understand, Ron and Melissa are not called to Africa. We love Africa. We send missionaries to Africa. We support missionaries in Africa. We're called to America. America. I know it's not 4th of July, but I'm feeling seriously, spiritually patriotic. America needs Jesus. The third largest mission field in the world. Why is that, Pastor? Well, could it be that the whole world came to America? Do you know, if you really wanted to win somebody to Jesus, that you didn't have to get in a plane or a train or a boat? You could go to the lamplighter. The lamplighter, there's Albanians. A Chinese chef, there's Chinese. Oh, I wish somebody would help me preach this message because I feel it in my spirit. What do you mean we got to go around the world? They're living right next door. You get your nails everywhere you go, somebody needs Jesus. So I appreciate the gifts of Mission Sunday. And I appreciate your tithe. I appreciate all you do. But how many know we got to get this world saved? Because they're believing a lie. And I believe it with all my heart. He keeps his promises. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they dwelt in it. God said it, and God did it.